Good morning and welcome to the Heart of the Father broadcast. This is Pastor Ken Strong from Father's Arms Fellowship in Scott City. And this morning we want to start the broadcast out with a song from my wife's album. And the title of the song is You Shall Not Be Afraid. And the words of this song are taken from Psalms chapter 91 and some other verses in the Psalms. And listen to this song and just let the words sink down into your heart and grab a hold of the message in here concerning fear and concerning God is with us and His angels being with us. And you know, things come against us that could make us afraid if we didn't realize that God was with us and the greater one lived on the inside of us. But God is with us and His angels are surrounding us. And God tells us in His word, we will not be afraid if we will trust in Him, because greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. So listen now to this song of my wife's from her album, You Shall Not Be Afraid.
You shall not be afraid. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night. You shall not be afraid. You shall not be afraid of the arrow by day. A thousand may fall at your side, and 10,000 more at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. You'll only look on with your eyes, for you dwell under God Most High. You shall not be afraid. You shall not be afraid. You shall not be afraid. Angels have charge. You shall not be afraid. You shall not be afraid. He will send you on high. A thousand may fall at your side, and 10,000 more at your right hand, but it shall not come near.
That was the song entitled You Shall Not Be Afraid from my wife's album. And later in the program today, we're going to let you hear Nancy preach. She's going to be preaching from a message entitled 8 Ways to Overcome Any Problem that she preached here a couple of years ago. And she's going to give you half of it this week and half of it next week. And my wife Nancy is just a tremendous blessing. She can preach and sing and do so many things, and we just thank God so much for her being in my life. She's dear to me. Love her so much. Thank you, Lord. I want to read a passage from Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. Fear not, there is nothing to fear, for I am with you. Do not look around you in terror and be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen and harden you to difficulties. Yes, I will help you. Yes, I will hold you up and retain you with my victorious right hand of righteousness and justice. Verse 11, behold, all they who were enraged and inflamed against you shall be put to shame and confounded. They who strive against you shall be as nothing and shall perish. You shall seek those who contend with you, but you shall not find them. They who war against you shall be as nothing at all. You know, isn't that something? Because, you know, they tell us that mathematically the things that we fear are 98% do not ever happen. The things that we're afraid of just don't usually ever happen to us. And it's just the devil throwing a fear at us. And you know, the word fear, the letters for the word fear stand for false evidence appearing real. And that's the truth, because right here it tells us that all the things that are coming against us, they're going to be as nothing at all. I was praying last week and thinking about a lot of things. There was a lot of things on my mind. There was a lot of things I just told God. I said, God, I can't do all this. I there's just no way I can do all this. I can't. It's just overwhelming. Everything just looks so big to me. The job of the ministry looks so big to me. All the people's problems were just, they were just closing in on me, and I just felt overwhelmed. And, you know, I just sort of had this mini vision, you know, in my mind. I know the Lord was just speaking to me, and just, there was like a cloud came into the room where I was praying, and I just saw all these huge mountains, you know, and that's how I was seeing all these problems, all these things in my life. They were just huge problems, and they just all shrank down into little molehills. And I thought, you know, the devil has taken these molehills and made them into mountains in my mind so that I will be afraid and not think that I can go and do the things that God has called me to do. And you know, if you think about it, the Bible says, you know, over in the New Testament, one of the epistles, he said, if God is for us, I think it's Romans 8, if God is for us, who can be against us? You know, God is standing right there beside of us, and he's right, and he's so big. He's bigger than any situation. He's bigger than any circumstance, and he's right there beside of us. And all it takes, even if it was a mountain, which, you know, God told us is we could speak to the mountain and it'd be removed. But even if it was a mountain and not a molehill, if God is walking with us, when we come up to that mountain and we're walking in him and he's walking in us, when we step on that mountain, it's going to be squished down to a molehill and we're going to walk right over it. Because greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. I'd like this passage here in Isaiah chapter 40 where it says, fear not. There is nothing to fear. I'm reading out of the Amplified Bible, and I just love how it brings that part out. It says, there is nothing to fear. Why? Because I'm with you. I am with you. Hey, if God isn't with you, you got something to be afraid of. But God is with those of us who've called on the name of the Lord and are saved. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. He's with us. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Even to the end of the world, I'm going to be with you. Oh, his faithfulness is so great and so wonderful. And then he just says, all those that are coming against you, he said, I'm going to take care of them. They're going to be as nothing. I'm going to take care of them. And you know, that goes along with the passage over there in Isaiah 54, where he says, well, why don't I just read it? Isaiah 54 and verse, I think it's 17. He said, no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against you in judgment you shall show to be in the wrong. This peace, righteousness, security, triumph over opposition. Hey, we're going to have opposition. Jesus said, in the world you have tribulation, but he said, be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. Even in the middle of opposition, triumph over opposition, here it says, is our heritage. The heritage of the servants of the Lord, in whom the ideal servant of the Lord is reproduced. This is the righteousness or the vindication which they obtain from me. This is that which I impart to them as their justification, says the Lord. What is it? That nothing that comes against us is going to prosper. That every thing that the enemy throws in our face, we're going to stand against him with the word of God and defeat him. Hallelujah, and bless the Lord. I just love how the Lord gives us these promises that gives us these visual pictures. You know, it's just like I was praying and I had that vision and I saw all these mountains just become a molehill. They just become smaller. Well, you know, if we're looking at things right, you know, the Lord spoke to me. He spoke to me that week and he said, "You're not looking at things the right way." And I wasn't. I was looking at them through what I could do in myself. But you know, I'm not just me, and you're not just you. And whatever problem you're going through, whatever thing is come against you, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. The greater one, the Lord Jesus Christ, lives in you. And if he's in you, you're going to win the victory, and you're going to win the battle. Hallelujah. Well, I hope you enjoyed this message today. The first half of Nancy's message, 8 ways to overcome any problem.
Then I want to give you 8 steps to overcoming a problem. You know, when that giant came and confronted Israel, he was a problem such as they had never known before. He was a new problem, one that they didn't know what to do with. I mean, they'd been to war and they'd conquered people. And they'd had things come against them bad. But this giant represents a problem in the Bible. There's a couple different times where there were giants that came against God's people, but this is the most famous one, isn't it? Goliath. And if you start reading there, it just says in verse 1, 1 Samuel 17, "Now the Philistines gathered their armies together to battle," and it tells where. You got a bunch of names there. "They were gathered at Succo," which belongs to Judah. "They encamped between Succo and Azekah in Ephes-Damim," I think. Anyway, it tells you where, and I've been taking a correspondence course from Marilyn Hickey Ministries. And I'll just tell you, these 8 steps, I got them from Marilyn Hickey, but they blessed me. This was several chapters ago when I was reading this. And it blessed me because we all run into trials, we all run into problems. And in your life, that's like a giant. Yes. Step 1, if you're the kind of person that wants to take notes, I highly recommend paper and pencil at church, because they may say something that will just stick with you all week. Well, it just step number 1 that she gave from this was simply this: discover your position. Discover your position. I mean, this is where the giant was. The Philistines. Everybody got some paper who wants some? Okay. The Philistines were the bad guys here. They represented the enemies of the people of God. And it just tells that you had to know where they were. They're coming against you. They're setting up something there. And the devil comes, he sets up a problem. And what this was just saying to us is you need to realize where you're at and where the problem is at. I mean, have you ever just been walking around saying there's something vaguely wrong and I don't know what it is, and I'm really down? Well, you need to get to the source and find out what it is. So get your location. Find out what your enemy is up to, and you know, God will show you. If we try to reason everything out with our own little mind, it doesn't work. Don't just pray. Just say, "God, I need supernatural revelation here. I just plead the blood over this whole problem, this whole mess." And I tell you that Mary and I were talking the other day, weren't we? About, we try to reason it out and talk it out. And she said, once we prayed, it was just better. You know, try to figure something out. Just pray and ask God to help too. Hallelujah. So in verse 1, it tells the location of the giant. And sometimes you're not facing a problem too. You think, oh, I don't like this, but if I ignore it, it'll go away. No, you got to determine the location. Find out what's going on. Because the worst thing that can happen is not worth avoiding. Whatever it is, God and you together is enough. Amen. So don't avoid it. Don't pretend like it's not going on. Amen. Go ahead and have the bummer and have your pity party or whatever, but face what's going on. Okay? And remember the 10 spies in another story in the Bible. 10 out of 12 of them said, oh, it's so bad, we can't do it. We're just like little bitty grasshoppers compared to these big people in that land that God says we're supposed to go get. They said they're like little bitty grasshoppers. God didn't say they were.
That's right.
God looks at his people and says, you are covered by the blood. You're more than a conqueror. You can do anything with me. And, you know, when we start cutting off what God's saying, when we start saying, I'm just like a little bitty grasshopper, this is all, it's too much for me, I can't do it. See, you're being like those 10 spies, and God said they gave an evil report out of their mouth. When they said, we're just like little bitty grasshoppers, this is too big, this is too horrible, I can't take anymore, I just can't stand it. I hauled off and slapped someone because I just couldn't take it anymore. I said that this week, I think, something like that. I didn't last in my trial. I gave in, and I just wasn't nice. Because I said, my excuse was, I couldn't stand it anymore. Okay? God doesn't say that, you know. He says, you shall surely overcome this. Anyway, step one is recognize the problem, get your location. And God says, you're not like grasshoppers in your own sight. Step two, you need to build a hedge. And I'll tell you how I know that. You know those three funny names in that first verse there? It says the Philistines were gathered at Socho, I believe is how you say that in Hebrew. You know what that means? Socho in the Hebrew language means a hedge, an enclosure, a shut-in place. You need to get shut in with God. We sing a song about that Diane taught us, shut in with God in the secret place. And you get shut in with God, and that's where you build a hedge.
Glory
so that's step two is build a hedge. And then there's some more names that are still going with this with step two. You see where it says between Socho and Azekah. Azekah means a breach or a broken place, a gulf. The Lord has made a separation there for you, between you and the enemy. That word Azekah right there. And then, you know, it said, I'm backing up, it says they were gathered at Socho, which belongs to Judah. Remember there was 12 tribes? Judah is the state or the little tribe location where that city was. And Judah means praise. The place that where the Philistines decided to come against them was a place named Praise. You get shut in with God, you recognize there's a breach there, there's a broken place between you and the enemy, and you're in the place of praise. You know, there's a million little code things hidden in the Bible, symbols. It says all this stuff that happened in the Old Testament were shadows and types. It says in Hebrews, they were symbols for our instruction. Everything that happened to them happened that we might learn something. Praise God, you dig in there and learn what these names mean. There's even a lesson in what the names mean a lot of times. And last of all, this real long word, and they were in Ephes Damim. And you know what that place means? I could not believe this when I found out. It means the border of blood. A border of blood. Have you ever heard someone talk about, no, devil, you cannot cross the bloodline. Praise God, there's a line there. And the blood of Jesus makes a line. In the Old Testament, there's all kinds of stuff about the blood.
Yeah.
The blood. Before it happened on the cross, it was prophesied with the sacrifice of animals, with this and that. And there was a border of blood. And now, poor old Goliath, he didn't know what he was coming up against. Even the names of the place where he set up to defeat these people, he was defeated ahead of time if just one person would grab hold of God and believe.
Right.
He didn't know all that. He just thought, I'm big and I'm tough. I'm going to go get him. Ephes Damim means the border of blood. So you make a hedge between all those things, a shut-in place, a place of praise, a place where there's a breach. The devil is he's gulfed apart from you. There's a space between you and the devil. He does not have a right to camp out on your pillow, okay? That's not his pillow, it's yours. And if you're blood-bought, then that, you know, see what I'm saying? And I've let him, I've been laying on my bed, and there was like, not in my heart, but out here by my ear, there was somebody threatening me last year, just an icky little voice, I'm your enemy. Like, hey, I hope you're impressed, you know, that kind of an attitude. I heard that in my room. That was the same night you saw Jesus in our church. It was in our revival. And I was just shaking for a minute because I didn't expect to hear that. And a few minutes later, we were down at church. About an hour later, I was praising God. And Jesus, it was like he just walked right up to me, put his hands on my hands. He said, I am your friend. And that meant 10,000 times more than anything. You know, Jesus is in you, too. You belong to him through and through.
Right.
Don't listen to the devil when he says, I'm your enemy. You listen to Jesus when he's saying, I am your friend. That was more real to me than that icky little griping voice. Hallelujah. All right, so you build a hedge. You shut in with God, and you're too powerful. And then the third step said, let your problems take you someplace in God where you've never been. Your problem can become your servant. I didn't used to believe that. I thought every problem was my horrible enemy. And, you know, I mean, either I was going to die or that problem was going to die. And really, you do have to overcome things. But let me show you what Goliath said in verse... Okay, it says, let your problem be your servant, or you could say, let your problem take you somewhere in God higher than you've ever been. Let your problem promote you. You think, how can that be? If it's a great big monster, how can I get up on top of that? Well, Goliath gave them a challenge. Do you remember what he said? He screamed for 40 different days in a row. He came and showed up. And it says in verse 8, then he stood and cried out to the armies of Israel and said to them, why have you come out to line up for battle? Like, why are you even trying? Am I not a Philistine and you're the servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves. Let him come down to me. If he's able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. Ha! Did you hear that? If you can whip Goliath in your life, he'll be your servant.
Oh, yeah.
He has to work for you.
No,
he will promote you. If you can defeat that problem, you'll be on a higher level with God and on in your life, in the things you know how to handle, than you've ever been before. You'll be better off. You won't be weaker and defeated. You'll be better. Because then you won't be afraid of that problem anymore. You'll go, I know what to do next time that happens. I've whipped that before. See, you can let Goliath promote you. That awful problem, whether it's... Now, you know, your problem, I meant to say this could be anything. Could be a marriage problem, a relationship, a physical thing in your body that's real scary and you need healing. It could be, you know, a boss or an employee, if you're a boss and you have a problem with your employees. A fight you have in your family keeps going on. A lack of money, that's a real big giant to some people. Some of us have a whole bunch of Goliaths that we contend from time to time. But anyway, he said... Goliath, I just always remember the part where he said, if I whip you guys, you'll be my servants. I always remembered that part. But he said, but if you whip us, we'll be your servants forever. Of course, he didn't think that was going to happen, but that's what he said out of his own mouth. And that's what your problem is saying to you today. If you can whip this thing, if through God, you can overcome it, it will take you somewhere in God where you've never been before. And you'll always be there. You'll know. You'll have that. You'll be stronger. So let your problem promote you. Number 4. Hallelujah. You establish your position. Now, number 1 was find your position or locate or discover. Step 4 is you establish a position with your mouth. David had something to say back to Goliath when he heard about him. When he first showed up, he was just listening, saying, who is this guy? He's an uncircumcised Philistine. Well, he wasn't just being nasty. Circumcision was the mark of covenant with God among God's people. Remember, starting with Abraham, God said, you know, you will be circumcised and all your sons will after you and all your servants, whoever is part of your community, because they're in covenant with me. That was a sign that you were a covenant member of God's household. And what David was saying is, who's this guy that has no covenant with God? He's no relation to God at all, like we are. Who does he think he is? He's out there yelling obscenities at us, threatening us, telling us he's going to come kill us every day for 40 days. When he heard what was going on, David said, who is this man, and why is everybody afraid of him? Who is this that defies the army of God? And we need to say that to the devil and about the devil. Who does he think he is? He's challenging us. You know, it's not just us. It's us plus the Lord that made heaven and earth. Satan did not create heaven and earth, and he's not an equal opposite footing from God. When I was little, I always thought that. You know, God was the good deity, and Satan was the evil one, and they were more or less equal, but opposite. No, not at all. Satan is just he's a rebel, and he had been given some power and authority on the earth for some time. And now he only has it where you give it over. Jesus said, behold, you know, he said, I have the keys of hell and death. I have all power, all authority in heaven and earth. Jesus had to go down and get that under the earth, and he won that back from Satan. And then he turned around to the disciple. He said, I give you all authority and all power in my name.
Amen.
Diane was talking to us about the name of Jesus. You know, that's so much more powerful than we think. You establish a position, this step 4, with your mouth. And David said, we are the army of God. We have a covenant with God. And that applies to a lot of different areas in your life. God has made so many promises, but you may not even know what they all are. If you don't know that God says, I am the Lord that healeth thee. If you don't know that he says, you submit to God and then you resist the devil and he will flee from you. If you don't know that it says, no weapon formed against you will prosper. None of those devices will work in the name of Jesus. See, if you don't know to say that, then Satan can just come and, you know, who was that? So the devil did a tap dance on their head. I can't. Somebody was preaching here. Was that Clay? Somebody was talking about the devil will even come and do a tap dance on your head. That was probably you. But that just tickled me because, you know, they said you can keep a bird from flying. You can't keep them from flying over your hair, but you can keep them from building their nest right there. Hallelujah. You establish a position with your mouth and say, this is what I am. This is who I am. I'm seated with Christ in heavenly places, Ephesians 2. Did you know it says we already are seated with Christ in heavenly? That's a spiritual reality about you. You're seated in Christ in heavenly places. And I tell you what, if you're seated in the heavenlies, how far below and how little are your problems going to look? And you reach over and you look at Jesus and you see how he's taking all this. He's not whining and crying about it. You're seated with Christ. You can look over and you copy what he does. Jesus is not upset. You're not upset. Hallelujah.
Thank you for joining us today for the Heart of the Father broadcast, brought to you by Father's Arms Fellowship in Scott City, Missouri, 1400 Main Street.